Today on Movie World, as we talk about Waves and the Aeronauts. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And ESG as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. So coming hot off the heels of our last podcast, which covered 3 to 5 movies, we're going to slow it down just a little bit here to talk about two movies, but we are really knee deep in films and screeners, so it's kind of a fun time. Hopefully you enjoy this material as much as we enjoy making it. Didn't get to see either of these movies this week, so I'm kind of intrigued what the two of you will have to say about them. But again, we don't have time, I guess, to do our usual segment of
why can't I find anything to watch?
We should call it that, because really that's become a very poor excuse.
But I would actually guide people towards the movies we've already covered, which are now on Netflix and on Amazon Prime, like The Report, like The Irishman, like Marriage Story, like The Two Popes. You know, all of these movies are now, they are prestige movies which are being released on your streaming services, and check them out.
I have been shocked at how many Amazon are doing. Mm-hmm. I love that little graphic that comes up before the movie, you know, the little house being built.
Well, I like that.
Or the little fold on itself, and then you're at the Amazon Studios.
Yeah, very inspired by Christopher Nolan.
So,
The Inception.
The Inception style.
The street folding upon itself, yes.
Somehow it always comes back to Chris Nolan.
Of course it does. I mean, yeah.
Who has a movie coming out next year called Tenet?
Tenet.
Yes, we've talked about.
We will. I will happily talk more about. It is really interesting. All of the content wars. You know, again, we've talked about that previously, but Netflix and Amazon Studios are really, you know, throwing a lot of money at this stuff, and it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, especially with the Disney, Marvel having their own things. That's a huge loss for any other streaming service. It's good problems to have. Plenty of content for us all to enjoy. So, Waves. I'll talk about Waves just very briefly. I think the two of you have seen the movie.
Mm-hmm. I've been dying to speak about this one. I've been dying to know what Yazdi thought of this one.
So this comes from director Trey Howard Schultz. That's Schultz with a TS, not a TZ, which is an interesting way to spell Schultz. He directed a couple of movies that I haven't seen, one called Krisha, released in 2016, and It Comes at Night, which came... Oh, did we see It Comes at... No, we haven't seen it.
It Follows was the one that came out.
Yeah, so... both of which have done tremendously well critically, even though they may have been smaller releases. And I think It Comes at Night is maybe available. It was at one time on Netflix, so it's definitely there and definitely one that I wanted to catch. This movie here is, again, I'll read the log line straight from the Rotten Tomatoes homepage. Set against the vibrant landscape of South Florida and featuring an astonishing ensemble of award-winning actors and breakouts alike, Wave traces the epic emotional journey of a suburban African-American family led by a well-intentioned but domineering father as they navigate love, forgiveness, and coming together in the aftermath of a loss. Those... award-winning actors and breakout alike are indeed Kelvin Harris Jr., who we saw earlier this year in Loose, Lucas Hedges, who we've seen in, many other things. Yeah, he's been a wonderful young actor. Taylor Russell, Alexa Demi, Renee Elise Goldberry, Sterling K. Brown from the TV's This Is Life.
This Is Us.
Okay, whichever. Clearly, I'm not a fan of that show. So, again, this movie has been doing fairly well critically. So, guys, what did you think of Waves?
Yes, Digo, I've been dying to hear your opinion on this one.
I don't know what to say about Waves. It's quite unlike anything I have seen. It reminded me a little bit of A Place Beyond the Pines. Remember that Ryan, Gosling movie, which was about three different chapters of characters who are related, and the movie almost stops at one point and becomes about another character and then another character, and kind of seeing the action of one person perpetuate through the lives of other people. So thematically,
Denis Villeneuve. Villeneuve that directed that. Yeah, yeah.
It's an experience. This is not for everyone, only because the movie is very trance-like. It's like being in a trance, and the movie very, very deliberately tries to put you in the head of certain characters at different points in time. It's very dreamlike. There is a annoying, consistent music playing through every minute of the movie, which I found very exciting and liberating initially. And then at the end of it, I was looking at my notes, I wrote about five times, please stop the music. It just got to be too much for me, because there's a constant soundtrack playing, and it's very deliberate because it wants you to feel what that character is feeling at that given point in time. So it's very dreamlike. The editing is incredible, because there's all these short takes, things people imagine, things they're seeing. It truly feels like you're in the ocean in a wave and different things are coming up to you. I really like this movie. It kind of reminded me about, remember that movie we saw? I can't remember its name. Also, about this guy who's trying to do techno music.
Yes. The one with, I know exactly which one you're thinking of. The 16 Beats or something.
But anyway, I think I'm amazed that this too is what movies can be. I'm not making it seem like this is a Terrence Malick film. There's not just things, people waving hands in the, you know,
sheets
in the fields.
Sheets blowing in the wind.
Yeah, it's not sheets blowing in the wind. It's very much, it has a very definite character study. There are different characters. There is, I think, in essence, from a plot perspective, how I might summarize it is, it's about a fairly privileged African-American family which, in the current system, the high school system and the social media system, how, through no fault of anybody, could lead to pretty horrific outcomes, and how that kind of ripples through different people's lives as a consequence of that. So it's a very ambitious movie. Kudos to the director and the editor for kind of creating something where you feel like you're being pulled away into a wave through most of the movie. It's quite something else. I enjoyed it. I liked it, but it's not for everyone.
Rashmi.
Okay, so...
Did this annoy the life out of you?
No, it didn't. I was going to say, here is an example of a movie that's literally a movie of two halves. I'm so happy as you came up with that analogy of the pines.
The Place Beyond the Pines.
A perfect analogy. It feels like a big old mess when I was watching it. But miraculously, and I don't know how, it all comes together at the end. And I don't know how or why, but I can't stop thinking about it. And I'm not sure if the title is supposed to make us think of the fact that life happens in waves, or you make waves and bad things happen. I actually didn't mind the music. It's very intense. It's very, very intense.
It's very intense. It's pounding. It's screaming. It's loud. It's like...
But I actually like that, because I like loud things. And not that it's kind of great acting or Oscar-worthy acting, because we're in the season, but it's solid. It's really solid and believable. And I think, rather like We Need to Talk About Kevin, it shows the effects of a horrific accident on a family and the aftermath. But I think it's also trying to make a social commentary. And my criticism is that it doesn't quite make that social commentary about drugs and sport in school and the world we're living in today and the suburbia of different parts of the country in some ways. So I think it's attempting to make this...
It's trying to be American Beauty, but it's not.
Yeah, it's kind of trying to say, look at the way we live and look at what's made to be important in school and how everyone can get caught up in school. And, we've all been teens. Right. We've all lived that life. That's my only criticism. I feel like it didn't quite meet the goal that it set out to do in terms of the social commentary, but it's a good movie and it's interesting and it's two completely different halves.
So movies seldom do that, right? Movies seldom are obsessively about one person and then they just check out and become obsessively about another person. I mean, really, Place Beyond the Pines is the only movie that I know that did that and kind of annoyed a lot of people.
Yeah, me.
the other movie was the Zac Efron movie. I think it's called We Are Your Friends. And it was about this guy who's trying to build a career as a DJ,
as club
an EDM
DJ.
Person, right?
Yes.
But anyway, I agree that this movie is trying to be like how we live right now. And there's huge portions in the movie which is just about people exchanging text messages. And there's a lot of music around it about how, you know, little things said on a text message can have huge consequences in terms of destroying people's, you know, perceptions
self-worth,
and self-worth. And if you're intensely in love with someone, just one text message is enough to kind of make you go insane.
And Instagram and Facebook. And
there's a lot of that through the whole movie. I was just in awe, especially the first half hour of the movie. I was in awe of the camera work. There is a brilliant, I've maybe it's been done before, but I've never seen this. And I'm going to talk about it so that people consciously look for it. But there are about five or six shots where the camera is somewhere in the middle of the car.
Yes, I don't know how they did that.
I don't know how they did it.
Spins around the car.
And it completely spins, like does a full 360 around the car without you ever seeing the seats. I don't know how they did it. And they keep repeating this.
Joe knows how I did it.
But it's brilliant because you get a sense of, you're closed in this car. There are all these characters and how each one of them is feeling. And it kind of does this again and again. The editing is incredible. It's just an experience. You know, movies have become so generic and you either go and see a horror movie or you go and see a rom-com or you go and see an epic, you know, prestige movie. But seldom do you see a movie where you feel like you went through the ringer and you came out at the other end.
Right.
And then the second story has almost a completely different pace than the first one, and necessarily so because the second one is the consequence of what happened in the first story.
But not quite.
Yeah. They're only marginally related. And it has a very different timbre. So it starts off being about aggression and drive and sexual energy and being a teenager. And then it becomes about punishment and then it almost approaches grace towards the end. For me,
it was a lot of heart.
It had a lot of heart.
The second half had a lot of like emotional depth, a lot of maturity in the way that love is portrayed.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I kept waiting. I'm like, Lucas Hedges is in this cast.
Where is Lucas Hedges?
And then he comes and he does his thing.
And he's amazing.
He's very
good. Look, the guy is amazing. Lucas Hedges is going to be one for the books.
He's so solid. I've not seen Lucas Hedges like this.
Yeah.
I just have not.
He's great. He was in that movie last year with...
The Preacher, the conversion therapy one.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Yeah,
it doesn't help our audience.
Beautiful boy.
Beautiful.
No. It was.
Yeah,
the
he
other
was
boy.
In a beautiful boy as
he
well.
He was in a beautiful boy, but
drug addict.
No, that was Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, that was Timothy Chalamet.
It is some other. It's a boy.
Right
There's
now.
Boy in it. It's one of the two boy movies last
boy
year.
Boy Interrupted or something.
Yeah.
I'll look at it while we.
No, I'm gonna do. I'm doing it.
Okay, but.
But anyway, I think I'm glad that this particular director is making movies like this. It's an experience.
Boy Erased. Ben is Back was the other one where he played the drug addict.
Ben and Back is very big.
Yeah, he was just in Honey Boy and he was fantastic in Honey Boy and he's in Waves. I mean, I'm looking at his IMDb and for the last, you know, three years, he hasn't been in a movie that's been less than 80%.
It's just a very visually charged movie. If you love the movies, I think you should see it. This movie doesn't have big name actors.
Kelvin Harrison Jr. is becoming, again, we saw him in Loose earlier this year. I think he's going to get maybe a nomination.
I hope so. And this is a title, in both movies, he plays the title character. And
correct.
He's very good here as well. A very different looking. I didn't even realize that was him. Sterling K. Brown, who plays his father and who was in... the
This Is Us.
He's in This Is Us. He was also in the O.J. Simpson. Remember
People versus
O.J. Simpson. He's very strong. He's very solid. Yeah, he plays the father, a very pushy father.
And again, look, it tries to talk about color and race and the impact of being a young black male. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't quite, again, it doesn't quite get the message across.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody says, you know, being black, we don't have the luxury of being average, which really kind of struck a note for me.
Yes.
And this is a very, very affluent family. And yet, you know, this kind of pall of race goes on. There's an amazing scene at a Planned Parenthood, which really shook me up. I was shaking in my seat. This movie is intense, and I think people should watch it. And I'm going to sum it up, a very, very ungenerous, stingy 8 out of 10 for me. This is quite incredible. People should go watch it.
Sorry, what did you...
Eight. Why?
Rashmi, no, I'm surprised. No, I'm surprised. I thought it would be a bit less.
Oh, no.
Look.
The music did annoy me, but yes.
I don't know. Look, I'm playing the Yazdi 7.5 game.
Sure, you can do 7.5.
I feel like...
No, you can't. That's not the rules. We have a 10-point scale.
I'm going to knock a point off because it didn't quite make it for me. But I feel that's really, really stingy because I do want people to go and watch this. But it's a solid 7. Solid 7.
I mean, just for its structure, I think you need to see it.
I mean, it is a little bit annoying to start with because it's kind of like, oh, it's another high school drama, but it's not. It's not another high school drama.
From what you said, the movie sounds like it could be frustrating. Is it frustrating in any way? Like, will I get annoyed by it?
No, you won't get annoyed. It's just you don't know where it's going. Yeah. It's kind of building to a crescendo very, very fast. And then it takes a right turn. And it's intentionally done that because it is a movie of two different halves. Mm. So I think if you accept that, if you let it wash over you, if you just relax into your seat and just think, you're going to see a great entertainment. And it's gritty as well. It's very gritty.
Mm. And there's a sense of impending doom, of foreboding. This is building. This is building. This is not going to end well. And
you just know it.
But you don't know how it's going to play out. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Long, long, long takes again in this movie.
Yeah.
Very long takes.
Again, great production.
Mm-hmm. It's visually just incredible. Yeah.
It's talking about, again, you know, Latino families who are kind of becoming the middle class. And
this is what I liked. The casting is so racially diverse here. I mean, most of the lead characters are African-American, but there is a Hispanic, you know, his girlfriend is Hispanic, you know, mix of everything. It's trying to be like, this is the America now. This is the melting point, and this is how we're living now.
And it's set in Miami, isn't it? Yeah, or Florida?
It's somewhere in Florida. Yeah. I couldn't quite put my finger on it.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds fascinating.
Yes.
The next movie to talk about is The Aeronauts. So, Yazdi, I think you are going to give us a brief backgrounder on that.
Yes. So, director Tom Harper, who annoyed a lot of people with close-ups of Anne Hathaway in Les Miserables while she was singing her heart out to win an Oscar, he returns in this particular movie, The Aeronauts, and the movie stars Eddie Redmayne as well as Felicity Huffman, who we last saw not Felicity Huffman, poor thing, she's in jail. Felicity Jones, who we last saw together in The Theory of Everything.
A delightful movie that was, and a delightful pairing that was. Their chemistry was wonderful.
Correct. And I'm not quite sure if this movie is based on a true story.
It is. It's inspired by true events.
Okay, so it's based on a true story written by Jack Thorne, who gets writing credits along with Tom Harper. And it tells the story of pilot Amelia Wren, played by Felicity Jones, and scientist James Glacier, played by Eddie Redmayne, who find themselves in an epic fight for survival while attempting to make discoveries in a gas balloon. So they take off to do good, important research work, and bad things happen, I presume. In the movie stars, like I said, Felicity Jones and Eddie Redmayne. It also has Tom Courtenay is one person, and Vincent Perez is the other one, which is a familiar name, and Himesh Patel. So you are the only one who saw this, Rashmi. Tell us.
Uh-oh. there's a grimace for the that led to my statement.
I'll say this. This movie is beautiful to look at. I mean, this has incredible cinematography because it's about an air balloon, but it deflates very, very quickly. You know, Joe, you said it before. They had great chemistry.
In the theory of everything.
And I feel like it's completely wasted here. It just feels like they're both play acting. I couldn't buy into the premise. I couldn't buy into their characters. It's trying to do this interesting thing about, you know, someone who has an idea about something. By all accounts, this man was very important for weather systems. You know, he actually was the person who sort of discovered that weather systems actually exist. But it's all just very dull and boring and by the book, and you could kind of see the beats. And
how can a movie about two people going off in an air balloon be boring? Bad things don't happen to them.
They do, but it's just, I mean, clearly, you know, there's little tension. Again, it's very they come off very caricaturish. She plays this kind of, you know, larger than life character who's zany, and there's a reason behind her zaniness, but it's trying to kind of be Little Women, and you know, she's trying to be gutsy, and it's trying to sort of talk about the social aspects of the world at that point in time. You know, it's set in 1862 in London, so, you know, the formal sort of formal London, and then university, and how it was all male dominated, and how you had to get funding for research, and all very like woof 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 like that, you know, very waffly, and, you know, gentlemen in top hats and tails, and
rather,
you know, all very woof 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 like that. That's really the whole movie. It just didn't work for me. I'm making it a really quick review on this one. This is a balloon that needed to pop.
Dope.
Score?
4 out of 10.
Oh gosh, that's brutal.
Yeah. It did not work for me at all. It just felt really, really forced. I don't know what it was, but it didn't click. The gears didn't click into place, and the dialogue was all very strange. And
can I ask a question? What, you know, I mean, at this time of year where we're seeing such quality, is this maybe a reflect, you know, had it come out at a time, let's say it was a January release, would you have given it a little bit more? Because, you know, everything can get distorted at this time of year. We're seeing so many good, like, top shelf, top tier material, you know, so many great releases. Is this one perhaps?
It just didn't work. It just didn't work, Joe. It just, I mean, again, it okay. really just feels I was trying very to give you the benefit forced. Of the doubt. And again, I just couldn't get over the fact that these were two people in costume. Like, it felt very costumey, and the costumes kind of ate them. The balloon kind of swallowed them up. The balloon swallowed the entire movie.
I love that. That should be the byline. The Aeronauts, the balloon swallowed the entire movie. I love it. By the way, I made a faux pas in my introduction. Can I just clarify that this movie is directed by Tom Harper, who is no relation to Tom Hooper. And Tom Hooper is the person who made Les Miserables, The Danish Girl, The King's Speech, etc. This Tom Harper has only made one other movie before, so it's not. Those two people are not related.
Well, interestingly, I just clicked on his Rotten
I was
Tomatoes.
Just going to say he did Wild Rose, which you were raving about last week, I think. Jenny?
Yeah, yeah. No, he's directed this wonderful little movie. I know we got a couple of minutes to talk about it. This movie called
with
Wild
Jesse
Rose
Buckley.
With Jesse Buckley. It's about of all things a working class girl from
Scotland. We were talking
Glasgow,
about
Who has aspirations to be a country and western singer in Nashville and. As implausible as that movie's premise sounds, the movie completely works. It has a very British feel to it. It feels in many ways very Full Monty meets anything with Sally Hawkins in it. It has a very honest feel to it. And I loved that movie mostly because of Jesse Buckley's performance, because she owns and inhabits that character. Have you seen it, Yasti?
I have not, but I've heard rave reviews about it, and it kind of came and went.
And I think it's on the Independent Spirit Awards list of nominations.
Yeah. Ironically, I did see it in the back of an airplane. We talk about that as our intro to every show, and that's where I picked up on this movie on a long transatlantic flight. So I picked it with... with not much in the way of knowledge behind it, and it just genuinely surprised me.
So we have grimaces on our face and we're laughing because Yazdi's cute dog Sawyer has made the most horrendous smell.
She dropped a bomb.
Yes, and Yazdi's making sure we know that it's the dog and not him.
She came by, she was sleeping, she woke up, she came by, she stretched.
And let one out.
A likely story, Yazdi. You're the one that's just devoured a huge piece of cheese on the podcast.
I've been giving her little pieces of cheese. I should put it away. Maybe that's what's doing it.
Yes.
Cheese is not for dogs.
It smells like gone off cheese now in your house. So
thank God we don't do smell-o-vision podcasting.
Yes.
Okay, let's wrap up today then. Again, too many movies, too little time. We're going to wrap this one up quickly. We've got a couple more movies to talk about today and release in the podcast in the very near future. So thanks very much for listening. Appreciate it as always. Let us know if you... have any thoughts on any of these movies, mail at movieallers.com and twitter.com/movieallers, facebook.com/movieallers, instagram.com/movieallers, everything.com/movieallers. That's us. Until then, too many movies, too little time. Goodbye from me.
And me.
And me as well.